Yo. What's up, motherfucker? Time for something that rhymes with O, like snow or glow. The Netflix series that you gotta watch. Did you watch it? You probably did. Because Cord Killer, that's your job. Rapping for Ryan's answering machine. There's no such thing as answering machines anymore. But here we are with a metaphor. Ha ha ha, that's a joke. Anyway, see you later.
Thank you, Justin Robert Young. Let's start the show. Welcome to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord-cutting revolution so that you, my friends, have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, man, I'm Brian Brushwood, and that was a voicemail from Justin Robert Young I got last night, and the moment I heard it, I was like, well, I don't have to look for an opening video tomorrow because this is gold.
You mean you got that on your answering machine?
Yes, which doesn't exist anymore. I clicked play on the tape, and there the exposition happened.
Woo! Hey, joining us today, it's good to have Nicole Lee from Engadget back on the show. How's it going, Nicole?
It's going great. How are you guys?
Doing very well. How are your cords?
They aren't here, so okay. I think they're gone. So they're dead.
Departed cords.
Murdered.
Well,
yes.
I hate to. It seems weird to say good, but it would also be weird for you to be on the show if you were like, no, I love cords. Cords are the best.
I love cords. Cords are my life. Wait, that doesn't seem right.
Well, we got a good stuff to talk about today, so let's get right into the primary target. TiVo did a little study because TiVo's like, we want to be your set-top box. So what are you guys into? Is it the DirecTV Now? Is it the Hulu Live? Is it the YouTube TV? They surveyed data of the most desirable TV channels among viewers in the U.S. and Canada with the current offerings cross-referenced from the major internet-only services. Now, the survey turned out showed that the four broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, were the most popularly named ones, followed by Discovery, then History, then FX. And then it kind of trails off into a total of 27 channels that TiVo determined are the ones that the most consumers want. These are the 27 golden channels. And so then they went and they said, who provides them in the largest percentage at the best price point? And DirecTV Now won. DirecTV Now's Just Right bundle at $50 a month covered 85% of these 27 channels. DirecTV Now's cheaper $35 bundle was 82%. Sling TV came in third. When you combine their orange and blue packages at $40, you get 67%, followed by Hulu TV, then PS View, then the Sling TV blue and orange on their own. And at the very bottom, YouTube TV, only covering 37% of the so-called 27 most desirable channels. Now, there's all kinds of ways we can attack this, Brian. Which one would you like to choose?
I would love to know, like, did they disclose all of those? Is there a link to the original article? Because on the Fortune article that I read, it told us the top four. The top four are broadcast, and then the next top four. Are the rest of them available?
I mean, to answer that honestly, I would have to reveal that no, Brian, I did not go and find that and put it in the lineup for
you. Oh, okay. Oh, no. So I'm assuming they exist. That's fine. I'm less concerned.
There's no link to the TiVo study, and I couldn't find it.
Well, the reason that popped into my mind is because the moment I saw that top four, number one, first of all, FX is, I think, one of the best dramatic television channels on all of cable. And then the next thought that popped in my mind was, AMC didn't make the top four. And so then that's what made me think, like, did AMC? I mean, certainly AMC had to make the rest of the top value list. But that's a remarkable top four that I would not have expected. Yes to Discovery being the top one. History, though. History killing it. I did not expect that.
That surprises me as well, that History was so high up on that list.
I don't know if there's been various iterations where History bothered to do History program, and other times they did Pawn Shops.
Their Vampire Secrets production was pretty good, but that's a little old now. And also starred myself and Veronica Belmont and Josh Lawrence.
Oh,
but I am used to, you know, from when I worked at Tech TV, we were very familiar with, like, what are the top competition? And I was very used to seeing History Channel on the basic bundles. Like even those, we didn't call them skinny bundles back then, but you had these real basic bundles where you're like, all right, we're just going to give you the big ones. And Discovery and History were always part of that. So it doesn't shock me that that's the way it ended up. But I guess what surprises me is that it's still the same, right? Like this is knowledge I'm pulling from the year 2000, not, you know, 17 years old knowledge. And apparently some of those tastes are still the taste that people have.
Yeah, Daniel J. Newman in the chat points out that History has Vikings, which, of course, is super, super popular. I could see that having a big, big impact on there.
Yeah. I'm trying to get this report for you, too, while we're talking about it. In the TiVo press release, they don't have it.
I as soon as I asked the question, I was like, oh, he's going to get distracted and insist on sending it over to
me. Yeah, so I shared a link of what I think this is to the Skype
Yeah, we've got the press release here.
I'm not sure if it's the same thing though.
Yeah, that's the one I found too.
Is but that it didn't the one? Have the, okay, great.
It just had a how much they'd be willing to pay.
Oh, right. Okay.
But anyway. Still, to the larger points, one of the interesting things, the second thought I had when I saw the recommendation based on the amount of coverage is, yes, DirecTV Now's Just Right bundle at $50 a month covers 85% of them. However, the complaints I've heard about DirecTV Now have not been about the offered selection. It's been about the execution. It's been about the ease of use. It's been about the formatting and so on. It might be a bit of a misleading thing. Like this is that kind of thing where it's easy to just say, oh no, this has all the boxes checked. Therefore it must be the best car for me. And then you get
all
behind
right,
the
got
wheel.
It. Discovery, NBC, by the way, this was not in the Fortune article, but NBC is behind Discovery.
Wow.
It's ABC, ABC, CBS, Fox, Discovery, NBC, History, FX, A&E, TNT, wow. TBS, HBO, yeah. Then AMC, Food USA, ESPN down there, PBS, Sci-Fi, Comedy Central, Lifetime, and Animal Planet.
Wow. Wow. What a rogues gallery there. That's all over the map.
The price per channel that people would be willing to pay totals up for all 20 of those channels at $30.
Wow.
Wow.
So even the quote unquote, you know, the best solution, the DirecTV Now's Just Right bundle at $50 a month, even that essentially has you overpaying on the guest average of what people
yeah,
want.
Paying more than people have indicated they would like to pay anyway. Yeah.
I will say that with the Hulu TV amount, I think if that doesn't take into account if you're an existing Hulu subscriber, if you were already paying like $10 a month or whatever, having that extra, I don't know, $20-$30 or something is not that much compared to whatever you have. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Like if you're already in the Hulu ecosystem,
yeah.
It's less to add more. So it's not quite fair to call it a $40 package.
Right? It's what we talk about this with Netflix all the time when people include it in the cost of cord cutting. And we're like, no, no, there's plenty of people with cable TV have pay for Netflix. You can't count that as a cost.
Yeah.
Any surprises to you, Tom, in what we saw here?
Yeah, besides the fact that these top channels seem like they're very stable. They seem like the kind of top. Nobody's saying, you know what I really want is Cheese TV or Vice or, you know, any of these new channels. You don't see any of that. It bears out what we've been talking about for years, Brian, which is people know what they want. They know what they're willing to pay. It's not that radical. It's just the business deals that have been done that were able to be done based on what at one time was a monopoly service in every market it was in have prevented competition from delivering that. And I hear a lot of people complaining. We talked about it with CBS All Access on last week's show about too many services, having to pay for all these different services to get the shows I want. And I think that you need to go through that pain in order to have the competition that will shake it out to where somebody can go to these companies and say, hey, you know what I really want to do is provide your channels to the people who really want them for $30 a month. Are you in?
Yeah. I think it's also interesting that TiVo is, this is the kind of study that you do when you know that you stand to benefit from an entire industry growing. I was talking previously about a friend of mine who had made some best-selling magic DVDs, and pretty much all the magicians we knew, if you were into magic, you had his DVDs. And so when sales started to slow, he went out and made magic bigger by going out and touring and recruiting young magicians. Like, this is a smart play on TiVo's part to say, like, look, if you're going to be a cord cutter, the odds are good that you're going to want to get a TiVo box because we're confident that we offer the best in the biz. Yeah. And so what you want to do is make for an easy path for people to join you in your club.
And don't forget, after the merger now, TiVo is also an analytics company. And so this is, we should probably get used to seeing these kinds of detailed reports from them more often, because they're more than just let's sell TiVo boxes. I probably undersold them earlier when I said that. They're also trying to be a data company. So,
yeah.
Also, Cheddar TV was the name of the network I was trying to think of when I said cheese TV.
Although, I like cheese.
Cheese, cheddar, you know, yeah, same difference.
Pretty, I mean, if you ask me, it's all cheese TV, Tom.
Yep, that's a very good point. You know what's not cheesy? You supporting us, though. We take that with utmost respect and thanks. Patreon.com/cordkillers is the only way that we make this show possible. And the more of you that support us, the better we get at it. The better our memory gets, the better the show gets. So thank you to everybody supporting us. And if you enjoy what you hear from us, it'll get even better if you go drop a dollar at patreon.com/cordkillers.
Yeah, man. Makes a difference to us. You guys, just that $1 per episode makes the difference to the world, man.
All right. Let's move on to how to watch. That's what we're here to do. Just today, Roku announced updates to 5 of its streaming devices. I'll run through the models so we can get our impressions of them. They've got an update to their $50 streaming stick that adds a faster processor. They say it's about 50% faster, and adds voice control to the remote. There's also the ability to use the remote on that model to control your TV volume and power. $70 Roku Streaming Stick Plus is a new model that replaces the old, more expensive streaming stick. It has 4K, but it also has better Wi-Fi range with the wireless module built into the cable. So you can position it maybe away from the TV to avoid interference if that's a problem for you. The $30 and $40 Roku Express and Roku Express Plus both got faster processors. And the Express Plus keeps its composite ports, which I know about 5 or 6 of you are, that's like the defining thing is like, I've got composite ports on my TV and I want composite ports on my Roku. They're not going away yet. The Roku Ultra didn't really get a change, just a price drop. $130 is what it used to cost. It's now $100. And for anybody who has a recent Roku, there's the Roku OS 8. Not every Roku box supports this, but if you've got one from the last couple of years, you'll be able to get it. It'll start integrating over-the-air programming into its search and its listings. So if something's live on TV and you have an antenna plugged into your Roku, it'll tell you that. It's also adding single sign-on, finally. So you can sign on with a pay TV provider, whether it's cable or a PlayStation View or something, and it will automatically sign you in to any of the apps that participate.
Man, this is all fantastic. I got to admit, like, you don't normally think of Roku as a processor-intensive thing until, you know, you load it up and you wait for it to boot and you get that little bit of lag from menu to menu, and you wouldn't think that makes a huge difference. But as far as the user experience, I think it does, and I'm glad to see them putting in the reinvestment into the infrastructure.
Nicole, are you a Roku user at all?
I am a Roku user. I still use it's a few years old now. It's the Roku 3, and it's basically the only thing I use. It's like it's the only box I need, really. I mean, it has YouTube and Hulu and everything on it. And once Hulu Live went from the Apple TV only to the Roku, like I think it was last week, wasn't it? Or 2 weeks ago, anyway. And I have been just using Roku as my sole cord killer device, really.
Yeah, and there was a point, like the Roku streaming stick I use in my bedroom is still laggy. It's still frustrating because it just doesn't quite flip as fast as you'd like. But the previous generation Roku, which is the one I have in the main area, works great. I mean, it does everything that I need super fast. And so adding more processor power is just going to make it even snappier. And I think that's fantastic. You know, what's funny, though, is Roku just had their IPO. Their stock is now for sale publicly. And their stock went down today on these announcements, which I don't I'm not going to pretend to understand all the intricacies of the stock market and buy on the news and they're buying the rumor, sell on the news and all of that. But it did seem weird to me because this does, while it's not a blow me away lineup, it certainly is all good things for Roku boxes.
Yeah. I think we should mention that Amazon announced their own Fire TV last week. I think it was
Wednesday.
Yes,
we will mention that. We mentioned it on Thursday and we've got some more news about that coming up.
Fair enough.
But thank you for the opportunity to tease ahead to later in the show.
All right.
All right, let's talk about what to watch in Under Surveillance.
Not like real estate. It's all about location, location.
Under Surveillance.
I mean, really, if you want to know what to watch, you got to know what's coming to your different services in October. And here to tell us is CNET's Ayaz Akhtar.
Here's what's new to watch in October. Over on HBO streaming service, Curb Your Enthusiasm returns for its ninth season on October 1st. Season 8 ended way back in 2011. Episodes in season 9 are going to be longer than the usual 30 minutes. On October 7th, HBO will have a documentary entitled Spielberg about a little-known director named Steven Spielberg. Over on Netflix, get ready for Stranger Things 2. The series returns on October 27th with 9 episodes, so now you know what you're doing on that Friday. On Friday the 13th, you can watch Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, starring Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen on Netflix. 80s Kids, Voltron, Legendary Defender, Season 4, arrives on Netflix on the 13th as well. Speaking of the 1980s, you can catch the third season of Red Oaks on October 20th over on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime will also carry NFL Thursday Night Football games every Thursday in October. Bad news. Every episode of 30 Rock leaves Netflix by October 1st. Good news. Every episode of 30 Rock arrives on Hulu on October 1st. Hulu will also have lots of season premieres in October. On October 2nd, catch the season premieres of Bob's Burgers, The Last Man on Earth, and The Simpsons. On October 3rd, watch the series premiere of The Gifted. It's a television show that's attached to the X-Men movie universe. Those were just some of the highlights. For a full list of everything coming and going online, check out cnet.com/netpicks. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and I'll see you online.
Thank you, Ayaz Akhtar. Go check it out. It's always good to keep up with stuff with Ayaz. Let's talk about what we've been watching. We'll start with you, Nicole. What's been dominating your eyes?
I have to mention Star Trek Discovery, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about it last week, but I'm really excited about it, not just because it's Star Trek and I like Star Trek, but because I feel like we haven't had a really good sci-fi series for a long, long time. And like a sci-fi space series. I know Westworld's a sci-fi series, but I'm talking about, like, you know, in space, exploring stuff.
The Expanse. And,
oh, true. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. But for me, anyway, like, I feel like the last really good one that caught my attention was Battlestar Galactica. And I'm just really excited to have a sci-fi space exploration series that taps into that Star Trek universe. And I watched a lot of Star Trek Next Generation growing up. It's not quite the same thing, but I think it's fine with me. It's great, and I love the characters. I love Michael Burnham. I think the actress is amazing. The casting is great. My only sadness is that we lost the USS Shenzo. Well, it's kind of a spoiler, but and we kind of lost. We had to sort of rediscover a new kind of. It's almost a whole new Star Trek.
They introduce you to a crew and a ship in the first two episodes, and then they take you to a whole new ship. But that's not much of a spoiler because that was clear from press and trailers and stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that we lost the first ship. But you know, that's the way it goes. And I think that might be a hint of what to come, in the sense of, like, this could be a series of, like, those kinds of turns and those kinds of twists and turns. Like, who knows what will happen, right? And that's exciting.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it too. And I know it's not for everybody. And we talked a lot last week about the problems with CBS All Access, which I'll set that aside. God. But, you know, should you be able to watch it? Let's pretend you can watch it on Netflix in your country and you're not worried about all that stuff. I think it's a really good show. And I like how they're able to make a darker Star Trek without making Star Trek dark. I think that is the trick they're pulling off fairly well. Brian, I'm curious if you plan to try it or if it's just something you're like, maybe I'll get to it someday.
You know what? I'm sort of on the fence about it, partly because I got to be honest, because of the All Access thing. I just don't know. Like just knowing that I'm going to have to sign up for another Jeep job just has me like, yeah, I don't know. At some point, I'll just watch all of them straight through. But of course, that's easy to say now and hard to follow through on later. Plus, also, and this is not for nothing, Star Trek Discovery is competing in the peripheral vision of Brian Brushwood against the Orville, because my brother calls me up and he's just like, dude, boring Star Trek is back and it's better than ever. It's the next generation. It's a bunch of people sitting around talking about what's on a screen. And I haven't seen it. I'm still waiting to hear what the buzz is on it. But if you guys love the Orville or you hate the Orville, let me know, because I think I'm only going to have room for one favorite space kid.
I'll be honest, I have not meant to watch the Orville, but that darn Apple TV app always pops it up in front of me because I watched the pilot at a time where I'm like, well, that's easy. That won't be, you know, that won't require my full attention. Sure, I'll watch that. And I'm fully caught up. I know it's only been three episodes, but I have been keeping up with the Orville. Nicole, I'm curious your opinion on that.
I haven't watched it either, to be honest with you. And I think part of it is that, like, I don't know if I want to have two space babies in my watch.
See? View. Yeah, see? Nicole and I, listen, Tom, why. Nicole and I have talked about it, and we only have room in our hearts for one space baby.
One space baby.
All right? And as it stands right
now,
it sounds...
Well, then I'm going to make you watch half an episode of each.
Oh, no joint custody. I forgot to mention
King
that. That's
Solomon over here.
Solomon. Space Solomon.
Yeah. Space Solomon. Okay. That is absolutely fair. And that I picked Star Trek Discovery, but I end up watching Orville anyway, which I think is funny. And Orville's not the same. It's also not exactly a comedy. Like, it is exactly what Brian just said. If you thought he was exaggerating, what his brother described is exactly right. It's boring Star Trek. It's a note for note 90s era Star Trek with a different cast, different ship, and some lewder jokes than they ever would have made on any of those, but because it's Seth. But it's really kind of weirdly good.
That's what I figured. I figured, I was hoping for essentially a take on, you know, Galaxy Quest, the series, but absent that, I'll take, more of essentially better fan fiction of the Next Generation era.
Yeah. It's like part fan fiction, part send up parody, but not nearly as much parody as I thought. Like, it does not get very silly very often.
Yeah.
So Nicole, I do have to call you out though. I slipped it in while you were talking. The Expanse. Are you not watching The Expanse?
No, sorry.
Oh, okay, Nicole,
that,
we have something
that
wonderful.
That is why you haven't thought there are any good sci-fi shows. The Expanse is amazing.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, The Expanse has completely filled the Battlestar Galactica hole in my heart, and you're really gonna like it.
All right, fair enough. I do like the new Discovery a lot, so maybe once I'm done with that space baby, I'll move on to another space. Space
well, yeah, The Expanse isn't coming back till like later in 2018, so you might have room for both babies if you do crib sharing. Brian, what have you been watching?
Man, I am diving into the Vietnam War. Thank you very much, Ken Brooks, for being. This is the first Ken Brooks documentary I'm watching all of. It's 10 episodes long, about an hour and almost 2 hours a piece. It's 18 hours long in total. And as we were talking about in the pre-show, it's astonishing to me how much of this story I'd heard before as a bunch of these individual stories, but to see them all threaded in one cohesive narrative, and the fact that he tracked down so often the exact people who appear in the footage that they're showing, and to have a human face and a human voice put to the human actions in the middle of the heat of war has been utterly astonishing. And the soundtrack's amazing because he got licenses to a bunch of audio that wasn't available anywhere else because people weren't granting him. It's very, very powerful. It's hard to play Hearthstone while watching so many dead bodies.
That's not where I thought you were going with that sentence.
No.
Wow. I'm sure that's true.
But on top of that, of course, watching Rick and Morty and Firefly per our usuals. I also watched The Sting, the 1973 Best Picture Award winning film. And
what brought that into your eyes?
There was another podcast that does movie reviews, and they asked me, they said, we want to do con movies. We were thinking of starting with something like, I don't know, The Sting. And I was like, yes, I will so rewatch The Sting. Oh, geez. That's the one part of the movie that I'm over is Scott Joplin's soundtrack. but it was it holds up, man. There are little things about the production that are just of their time. I guess it would be fair to say it's a 40-year-old movie about a time period 40 years before that. So it's kind of a cool bridge that the storytelling motif is exactly right for the midpoint between where I am now and this in the time frame of the story they're telling. Definitely holds up.
I am 100% convinced I should watch this and I will enjoy it. It sounds amazing. I have previously enjoyed Ken Burns' baseball documentary and a couple of others that he's done. I have been in a space where I've not wanted to watch anything serious, something that I could play Hearthstone and not worry about dead bodies on the screen. And so I've been watching Outlander still with my wife, and that's really good. I'm enjoying it. But I also watched Star Trek Discovery. That got me off on a kick of picking up where I'd left off rewatching Star Trek Voyager. So I'm now in season 7 of Voyager. And that is definitely a show where you can turn it on and play some Hearthstone while it's on. But between actual Star Trek and the Orville, it just kind of fit right into my gestalt this past week.
That's great. One more thing. I'm so glad I has pointed out that season 4 of Voltron comes out this month because Penny and I are scrambling to finish up season 3 right beforehand. They do some fun stuff on there, really smart storytelling elements, and the robot giant kung fu. Like, man, they got some great designers. If you enjoyed, and keep in mind, it's the same showrunners that did Avatar and Korra. One of the things that was really great about the animation styles, they put a lot of thought into kind of what are we trying to say with different styles of kung fu, of, you know, melting steel and so on. They do the same thing. They put the same thought in there. And it's like when it would be cool for Voltron to have a cannon, he has a cannon. When it's cooler for him to have a sword, he has a sword. And it all makes sense. It's great.
Excellent. All right, Bryce, what should we be on the lookout for?
Have you guys read, I know it gets to kind of a literature crowd, you guys some Stephen King heads, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have any of you guys read Gerald's Game?
I have. And when I saw there was a Netflix movie, I freaked out because I think I've had all the Gerald's Game I need in my life.
So that's right. Netflix is just like very quietly.
Netflix has launched a Gerald's Game musical, Brian.
And you're the star. No, they released an adaptation of Gerald's Game last week. Very, very sort of a quiet launch. If you don't know the story, it's about a married couple who go to a remote lake house and try to spice up their sex life with a little bit of a bondage role play scenario. And things take a turn for the worse when the husband has a heart attack right on top of his wife while she is locked up. And you follow her, Jessie, her trials to stay alive while tied up to a bed in a remote house that is empty and does not have a lot of prospects for survival.
What's the what was that movie about the dude based on a true story who got his arm pinned under a boulder?
Oh, 127 Hours.
Yeah, 127
yeah,
Hours.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And I think what's interesting about Gerald's Game is that it is it's very suspenseful and it's very thrilling, but it only has a little only a few moments of gore, and when it has them, they are very extreme.
They are very powerful.
They're
yeah.
Incredibly shocking.
Brant, out of nowhere, was like, hey, so I got this thing in my head. I can't get it out. having seen this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I was not aware. I was not ready for it. The very graphic moment. But it's really, it does a good job in being suspenseful and having this horror tension without being trucking heavily in gore and blood. And I think that makes those moments that do have more graphic imagery that much more powerful. And
I feel like this trailer tells you everything, though.
I know. I'm just watching it. I'm like, this is the whole story.
Yeah.
Some parts, but yeah.
It does. The trailer, because I saw Netflix recommended it to me, which is how I found it. And I looked up the trailer and I was like, okay. I watched like about a minute of it. I was like, okay, I need to stop because this is already a lot of. of story that you're telling me, and very true. I think that is a very good analysis of it. From what I've heard about it, from other reviews online, is that it's a very faithful adaptation of the book.
Everything I'm seeing looks very, very close to what I remember from the book.
Though I will say that there is a part at the end that is also very faithful and is maybe not the great way to tell that part of the story for a film. But,
oh, interesting.
But I think it's pretty cool, and if you are into horror stuff and want something a little outside of the box, check out Gerald's Game on Netflix.
Go take a look, and if you got something we should be on the lookout for, email us, cordkillers@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Brian?
Yes?
What you got?
Oh, man, dude, we're still rocking it over at the Modern Rogue. Returning back to the screen, our favorite bartender and all-around badass, Trevor Frambrock, joins us on the latest episode of the Modern Rogue as we learn to make the world's classiest Jell-O shot. It is an old-fashioned made in Jell-O shot format. So picture drinking fancy old-fashioned, only looking like an idiot while you do so. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't checked out the Modern Rogue, dive in. I love getting these tweets and emails with people saying like, all right, I finally did it. I watched one and now I've watched them all. It's highly bingeable. I think you'll like it.
YouTube.com/Modern Rogue. Modern Rogue, The Modern Rogue.
Modern Rogue.
Modern Rogue.
Yeah, the website is The Modern Rogue.
Yeah.
All right. Now we move on to the front lines.
Front lines!
On October 7th. McDonald's restaurants across the United States of America will have Szechuan sauce in limited quantities. That is all.
I mean, is it all? Can we talk about this phenomenon? Because I'm sure they went to work smelling an opportunity. When the first episode, you know, came, it was quote unquote leaked, intentionally leaked on April Fool's. And they're saying, it's going to be my quest. It's going to be all, it's the whole arc for this season. I'm sure McDonald's got a little bit giddy. Part of me is pretty stoked to see that not one episode was about the Szechuan sauce the entire season long.
To me, is it the subtlest product placement promo campaign ever? Or is it a throwaway line that got a life of its own and moved a corporate sponsor to take notice?
I think it is very, very much the latter. I think it is so much the latter. Meanwhile, Amazon's new $70 dongle with 4K HDR and Dolby Atmos also has a couple other cool features because Fire TV OS 6 is based on Android Nougat. It can do picture-in-picture video. It also has framework to allow pause, rewind, and recording of video for apps that support it. The device has 8 gigabytes of storage. The new Fire TV ships October 25th. Fire TV OS 6 will not be available for older Fire TV models.
So, Nicole, this is
yes.
This is related to that Roku story. Roku making its OS available for older models, Fire TV not.
Right. And it's going to be interesting on how this whole thing shakes out. I mean, I think, which do you get, right? Fire TV or the Roku? Or I think the Chromecast Ultra is kind of the same category. You know the whole dongle 4K thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you get? I mean, they're all around the same price, aren't they? Like 70, 80 bucks or so?
I mean, my answer is always, you know, what ecosystem do you swim in? And for me, it's like I do enough swimming in the Amazon waters that it's like that's a no-brainer for me.
Fair enough.
Although Roku gives you the more flexibility because you can swim in Amazon waters, but also Fandango Now waters and Vudu waters and other things. A lot of that stuff has started to come to Apple TV now. And in fact, Amazon's going to be coming to Apple TV, like you mentioned earlier, Nicole. So,
yeah.
I mean, the lines are starting to blur. The big one that doesn't blur and probably never will is Apple. If you want to be in the iTunes store universe, you got to buy an Apple TV. Otherwise, you can get Google Play stuff on Roku. You can get Vudu on Apple TV. You know, you can mix and match. So I still think Roku has the best cross-platform compatibility, but it doesn't have as big of an edge in it as it used to.
Ah, Vudu Waters, that famous Creole blues musician.
Disney released a new combined app called Disney Now that combines Disney Channel, Disney XD, Disney Junior, and Radio Disney into one app. This is similar to like what Fox Now does. Fox Now gives you Fox, FX, Nat Geo, etc. The app has settings to personalize it for the kids or the adults using it so that the channel that they're most wanting to see will come up first. Some content is there for free, but you pretty much have to authenticate to make any good use of it. So that's YouTube TV, PlayStation View, DirecTV Now, Hulu. They're all available to authenticate with. This is not their new streaming service, so don't get confused. This is just kind of consolidation.
So I'm going to assume that PlayStation View won't get me into this environment, even though I believe we have Disney on PlayStation View for the kids.
No, just yes. PlayStation. I just said it.
Okay. Sorry. I was reading my next line. It's called being a professional, Tom. Why don't you try it sometime?
Sorry. This is my fault. I shouldn't impede your creative process.
Well, good. I'll make sure to throw this over to the kids. The kids have a Disney fever right now. They just got their smart passes for our trip coming up in a few weeks. Amazon has put the following sci-fi titles into development for TV shows. Ringworld by Larry Niven. Snow Crash by Neal Stephenson. Lazarus by Greg Rucka. Is it Rucka or Rucka?
Rucka.
Rucka. Rucka will be adapting the graphic novel himself. This is going to be really curious to me because Snow Crash, as Neal Stephenson has pointed out, was originally written with the intention of it being turned into a movie, which is why you have these dynamic, highfalutin visuals as a side track to the story itself. And yet the visuals remain. And I'm so amazed 30 years later how prescient so much of what he said has been. I wonder how the book itself, I think, has aged very, very well. And I enjoy revisiting it. I'm hoping that comes through on any kind of television property as well.
Yeah, I'm that's probably the one I'm most excited by, although I'm very excited by Ringworld, and they're going to use all the Ringworld books as material. So that could be an epic Game of Thrones like series. And the Rucka stuff, I have never read Lazarus, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. So certainly three good shows to put in development. Any of these excite you, Nicole?
Yeah, I have to say I'm very familiar with Greg Rucka's work, so it'll be interesting to see how this develops from the graphic novel to the TV show. It's really interesting to see like a lot of graphic novels and comics like making it to the small screen these days. I mean, Marvel, of course, but sort of smaller titles like this too, and that's great. It's amazing.
And this doesn't mean we'll get any of them. They're in development, but hopefully we
will.
Amazon's stream of Thursday Night Football launched last week, and about 1.9 million people watched it. Now, remember, Twitter had this streaming version of Thursday Night Football last year. About 2.3 million watched their first stream. However, people watched on Amazon longer, with an average audience for any particular 30 seconds at 372,000 compared to Twitter's 243,000. I think the fact that you had to be a Prime member to see it might have lowered that overall number, but maybe raised the amount of people who aren't just checking it because they happen to have Twitter, but we're checking it because they have Amazon Prime and wanted to watch something.
Yeah, that makes sense with Twitter being a more ephemeral and not necessarily video dominant platform. It would make sense that if you're in the Prime ecosystem, you would have a television where it would be comfortable to watch the entire game on it.
Oh, and for instance, I watched a bit of the Thursday Night Football game that streamed on Twitter last year, the first time they did it, because it was a curiosity. Of course, I have Twitter. I watched it for a little bit and I shut it off. I did not tune into Amazon Prime at all, because even though I have Amazon Prime, it wasn't a curiosity to me and it wasn't right there on my phone. I mean, I guess it is right there on my phone, but I don't check Amazon Prime regularly. I check Twitter regularly.
I feel Amazon is I feel like if you want to watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon, it's a destination place, right? It's the thing you say, it's on Amazon. I should go check it out. And you sort of purposefully go and check it out. Whereas Twitter, as you say, Tom, you sort of incidentally scrolling through Twitter anyway, say, oh, that's football. I'll watch it for like a little bit. So it's a very different viewing experience.
Canada announced a deal where Netflix will spend $500 million Canadian to provide programming in Canada and establish a permanent production presence there. The announcement was part of a review done by Canadian Heritage Minister Melanie Joly. YouTube recently started a channel for Canadian content as well. That's amazing, man.
So not just provide, create.
Yes.
Because Canada has those, you know, so much percentage of broadcast has to be created in Canada. They're not making Netflix follow a percentage. It's more of Netflix saying, look, we'll do this. We'll work with you on this.
So do you think now will that content likely be exclusive to Canada?
Or no,
I would imagine they would export it everywhere, right?
No, it doesn't need to be. In fact, kind of the point of these Canadian laws is to hope that things leak out beyond their borders and other people start watching them and create a demand for Canadian content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the dispatches from the front. Pretty much all about Star Trek. Roy was listening to us talk about the new Trek and says, when I had the following thought, I enjoy cord killers. I enjoy it enough that I give money through Patreon for content I can get for free. I also enjoy Star Trek. I view CBS All Access as a racket. I will not be giving money to their success and will instead wait for Trek on some other platform. On the one hand, I pay for free content. And on the other hand, I want paid content for free. And this is the best part. I can't explain it. Go figure. Anyhow, you guys are worth the dough. Keep up the good work.
That makes my day to hear. And I tell you what, man, it really does speak to something primal that they miscalculated on the rollout of this thing. Kevin writes in and says, I couldn't believe what I heard today. After listening to my favorite podcast, my app automatically started playing my third favorite while putting on a hard day's work and looking busy and trying not to get caught playing with my phone. It happened. I thought somehow Trump invaded my airwaves, but it didn't sound like the person was holding his hand in the air when he talked. How could you hate the Big Bang Theory? It's my favorite show of all time. So I decided I will donate $1 an episode, but you must confess your love for the show. You know what I love about the Big Bang Theory? I love that Kevin loves it. And that makes it okay in my book.
Yeah. My favorite thing about the Big Bang Theory, too. I love how much people like Kevin love it, especially Kevin.
Yes, mainly Kevin.
Yeah. Dear Tom and Brian, I have long felt two things are true about CBS. One, they are the home of many of my favorite shows. Two, they are very stingy about rebroadcast rights for their shows to the point of being greedy. Examples, I was a fan of The Mentalist, but I had to watch it live because it wasn't available on demand on our cable system like most other shows. Their new show, SEAL Team, is not listed in my cable company's on-demand library. I guess if you don't catch it live, you have to watch it on CBS All Access. And he goes on to give other examples and compare it to NBC, which puts all their episodes in the back catalog on their app. Did you know they're going to have a break for Star Trek starting November 5th, restarting sometime in January? I bet they'll get a lot of people canceling in between. Your boss, Belissa, who I think I just called he by accident, and I apologize for that, Belissa. But I think she has a really good point here. And it isn't that CBS is stingy with rebroadcast rights. It's that they're weird about what they allow to rebroadcast. Some of it may be deals where they don't have the rights. Like The Mentalist may be produced by Warner Brothers or somebody else, and CBS doesn't get to make that call. On the other hand, stuff that they do have the rights to, like MacGyver old episodes or all the old Star Trek episodes, they give it to everybody. Netflix, Hulu, everybody has it. So where it might benefit them to try to restrict it and say, hey, if you want to watch old Star Trek, you got to come to All Access, they don't. And then other things like The Mentalist, where it's like, well, why? Why are you restricting that from on demand? It just doesn't make any sense.
So I'll tell you what. I know right now it was a very, very painful launch with Star Trek Discovery, and a lot of people were really, really annoyed. But they watched it. They felt suckered. They said, oh, I'm giving you the middle finger, old CBS. Things will be different in January. The sting will have worn off. And then when they come back after the break with new episodes, they're able to say, Star Trek Discovery is back. Catch up for free on all of the episodes with a free 7-day trial. And then all of a sudden, that's going to be a less offensive offer for a lot of people, I think. And I think that as long as they keep hearing that and they keep hearing about Star Trek Discovery, and I don't know, it could be they weather this storm. I don't know.
Yeah. I think in the end, the rational analysis of CBS is not the optimal way to do this, but it's not going to be a disaster. Enough people are going to pay that it's going to lift the bottom line. They're a very cautious company. Nicole and I both used to work for them. We know this.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me at all that they're doing this sort of very weird rollout with Star Trek Discovery. I mean, it's a complete blatant attempt to get more signups, right? Like it's a total blatant attempt. Like they're not hiding it really. And it's unfortunate, you know, I really feel what you're saying, Brian, like you feel like a little resentment. Like, why do I have to pay this amount of money for one show? And I totally feel you on that. And, you know, we'll see what happens in January. Right.
You want to take the last one, Tom?
Oh, sure. Mike wrote in and said, I'm considering CBS All Access. I watched Star Trek Discovery and liked it enough to start the consideration. I'm going away for a large part of December and could foresee some DVR shortages creeping up, and CBS All Access could help if I can watch the past 5 episodes or more of some of their current shows. I did some searching to see if I could find a chart of what shows have full access and which have partial access, like your Supergirl example. Do you know of any such chart or site with information like that? Nope, I sure don't. It's something that CBS changes. Like, I've seen them have all episodes available, and then suddenly they're all gone. So it's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah, it's CBS. What are you going to do?
CBS, the Tiffany Network. All right, that is it for this episode of Cord Killers. Thank you, Nicole Lee, for joining us.
No problem.
If people want to find more of what you're doing, where should they go?
They should go to twitter.com/Nicole.
It is the first account I ever followed on Twitter. It should be the account you start following today.
Oh, wow.
Go do it. Our website is cordkillers@gmail.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. See you next time.
Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you could gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go
with you.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.